The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the Sound Prints release for August 4th, a job opening in Phoenix, Arizona for their transit agency, Fiction Old and New Book Club meets August 30th, Eyes on Success interviews Jason Strother, Illinois Council of the Blind is offering 50-50 raffle tickets. The ACB radio schedules are changed, and there's a new schedule up. The new In Perspective is announcing their new time slot. An interview on NPR with Terry Gross discussing Rodney Evans' journey as a journalist losing his vision on her show Fresh Air. And if I have time remaining, a Facebook post from Ozzie Howe evaluating canes that he has tried through the years. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast for August 4th is now online. Jeff Bishop, ACB board member and acting managing director of ACB Radio, shares exciting changes coming to ACB Radio. Jessica Belcher, athletic director at the Kentucky School for the Blind, outlines present and future sports activities at KSB. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints audio magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints audio magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind, phone 502-895-4598, or email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Ron Brooks posts, "Hi folks, I am sharing a position description for a contracted position with Valley Metro. The transit agency serving the Phoenix metropolitan area is seeking to recruit. The accessible content coordinator will be responsible for working with our marketing, communications, and other teams to ensure that documents are prepared in accessible formats and that all of our online content is accessible to and usable by people with disabilities, including those who use assistive technologies. I do want to caution people that a big part of the duties involve working with documents that are currently not accessible and for interfacing with publishing platforms that are also not accessible. So keep that in mind as you think about whether or not to apply. However, I also believe that this will be a long-term opportunity for the right person. So if you are or if you know anyone who can perform the duties as outlined below, and if you like living on the surface of the sun, hey, we have great air conditioning, then please consider this opportunity. I'm not the recruiter and the position will not report to me, but if you are interested, let me know and I'll connect you with the person making those decisions. Please send along an up-to-date and properly formatted resume so I can pass it along. You can send me correspondence relating to this item at rbrooks@valleymetro.org. Thanks. Signed, Ron Brooks, Manager, Accessible Transit Services, Valley Metro, Phoenix, Arizona. Accessible Content Coordinator, pay range $24 to $34 per hour. Job summary, this contract position is responsible for ensuring all customers can access and utilize our services, documents, marketing materials, defining policies and guidelines for Valley Metro, as well as collaborating with key stakeholders to meet WCAG standards, evaluating and providing accessible solutions for web-based and mobile products to enhance the usability of agency content, and educating and promoting the practice of building media applications with accessibility in mind, as well as mentoring others in methods and techniques for addressing accessibility barriers. This position will ensure an accessible online user experience while maintaining quality and branded content. Major responsibilities, essential functions. drive the development and implementation of accessibility features, requirements, and guidelines in conjunction with the rest of the graphic design team, as well as IT, Accessible Transit Services Department, and development stakeholders. Work with the graphics and communications teams to write specs, user stories, alt tags, and checklists. Other internal agency departments may also need support in these areas. Develop and manage the implementation plan. Backlog and keep the team on critical path to ensure agency accessibility compliance. Work closely with developers and or appropriate stakeholders to prioritize issues for remediation. Review existing user experiences. Provide feedback on making them more compatible with assistive technologies. And lend design and technical expertise to the project teams. Perform regular accessibility audits of agency websites and web applications. Ensure enterprise and agency website, mobile applications, e-learning modules, documents, and videos comply with Federal Agency Section 508 and WCAG 2.0 requirements by checking accessible documents created by design team for quality assurance and or creating accessible files to meet agency needs. Perform research on emerging technologies to support proof of concept, POC, capabilities, and identify future solutions for the organization. Recommend Section 508 remediation solutions and improvements related to service offerings to enhance the usability of agency content. Knowledge. Strong knowledge of ADA Section 504 and Section 508. Legislation, accessibility guidelines, including WCAG, ATAG, UAAG, and WAI-ARIA, and UDL principles, knowledge of Architectural Barriers Act, ABA, and Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, knowledge of Sections 504 and 508 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, those seem like redundant requests. Knowledge of assistive computer technologies used by people with disabilities, including people who are blind or visually impaired, people who are deaf or hard of hearing, people with cognitive impairments, and people with other types of physical disabilities. Examples of assistive technology, including JAWS, Windows Narrator, VoiceOver, Google Talks Back, Dragon Naturally Speaking, Zoom Text, software for pointing devices, etc. Knowledge of state of national standards and guidelines which apply to equal access to electronic media and or technology, and provision standards and web and mobile accessibility, including WCAG 2.0 and WAI-ARIA guidelines. Knowledge of assistive technologies for varying disabilities and needs. Skills. Advanced skills with MS Office Suite, Adobe Creative Cloud Suite, InDesign, and other tools. Strong organizational and project management skills. Effective written and oral communication skills. Skill in web development and graphic design. Strong customer service, research, and analytical skills. Skills in work management, multitasking, and prioritizing, and decision-making skills. Proficient in Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Adobe Acrobat Professional, and Google. Abilities. Ability to remediate documents in order to meet compliance standards. Ability to understand and support 508 accessibility and Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, WCAG. Issues sufficient to ensure compliance to all federal statutes and guidance. Ability to take written material and effectively convert it to be accessible to all individuals with disabilities, including online documents such as PDFs, e-brochures, and Word documents. Ability to form professional interpersonal relationships with all levels of the agency, as well as being able to communicate with department leaders and staff members at all levels of the organization. Ability to understand and interpret Section 508 and other accessibility standards to provide guidance related to accessibility. Selective preferences. 1 to 3 years of experience working with assistive computer technologies such as JAWS and similar tools. Bachelor's degree in technology, business, or related field. coursework in communications, marketing, or public relations preferred. Web accessibility, WCAG 2.0AA, training preferred. At least 3 years of web development and or web design experience. Intermediate to expert knowledge of semantic HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript. 1 year of experience converting print media into accessible formats. 2 years of experience working on Section 508 compliance and accessibility. Fiction Old and New to discuss The Garden of Small Beginnings by Abby Waxman on Friday, August 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Topic, Fiction Old and New Discussion Group. Time meets the first Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Just this time, we are rescheduling Fiction Old and New to be 1 week early on Friday, August 30 instead of Friday 9-6. We will meet at 8 p.m. Eastern on 8/30/19 to discuss The Garden of Small Beginnings, DB87769, by Abby Waxman, ABBIWAXMAN. Please join us as we discuss this surprisingly humorous story of a young widow, mother, and artist, and her close circle of family and friends. While the story is told with a light touch, there is much to discuss here. The NLS annotation follows. The Garden of Small Beginnings, DB87769. Waxman, Abby. Reading time, 9 hours, 53 minutes. Read by Emily Rankin. Romance. Still devastated by the death of her husband 3 years before, Lillian tries to focus on her young daughters. As part of a job illustrating an encyclopedia of vegetables, she takes a gardening class, which helps her to heal. Unrated, commercial audiobook, copyright 2017. About 10 minutes before the meeting above, execute the below Zoom invitation meeting link on the device of your choice, or dial in with a telephone to one of the provided numbers. All are welcome. Your facilitators for this group are Michelle Bernstein, Hamlet's Sweet Lady at gmail.com, and Sherry Wells, Sherry Wells 1157 at gmail.com. The Zoom meeting invitation for Fiction Old and New follows. Topic, Fiction Old and New Discussion Group. Time meets first Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/s/613313488. Or iPhone OneTap in the U.S. 1-646-876-9923, #613313488, or 1-408-638-0986, #613313488, dial telephone using the previous numbers and the meeting ID 613-313-488. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/CNN(U)J(Z)1OH. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the above numbers to initiate the call. Those wishing to subscribe to past Fiction Old and News program archives can do so using their mobile device and a podcast app of their choice, or using their computers and podcatcher program of choice. The link with which to subscribe follows http://accessibleworld.org/taxonomy/term/24/all/feed. Eyes on Success, episode 1932, interviewed a freelance journalist, aired August 7th, 2019. Show notes. Jason Strother is a visually impaired freelance journalist. After reporting from South Korea for many years, his interests have recently turned to stories about how the disabled are impacted by climate change. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torby talk with him about accommodations he has made in his career, as well as an incident in which his vision could have cost him his life. Find the audio, show notes, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net and the podcast on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Get your ICB, Council of the Blind, summer raffle tickets. You haven't got your Illinois Council of the Blind ICB summer raffle tickets yet? What are you waiting for? There's just over 3 weeks left to get them and have a chance to win some cold, hard cash. 50% of what we raise goes to the lucky winner, and we'll draw that on September 6th. You can't win if you don't play, so get those tickets at $5 each for five or $20. I'm sorry, $5 each or $5 for $20 by August 30th, 2019. The technology hasn't been kind to us, so we couldn't get the discount stuff to work right on our online form after we thought it was working. However, you've got three ways to get your tickets. 1. Send a check made out to Illinois Council of the Blind along with the number of tickets you want and the names and phone numbers to go on them to Illinois Council of the Blind, P.O. Box 1336, Springfield, Illinois, 62705-1336. Number 2. Send payment via PayPal to ICB at icbonline.org. In the note section, just before you hit send, tell us how many tickets you want and the names and phone numbers to put on them. Number 3. Call our office at 217-523-4967 and let Maggie, our awesome office manager, know how many tickets you want. She can help you pay via credit card. If you get our voicemail, leave the ticket information and she'll call you back to get the card information. It couldn't be easier to win some cold, hard cash. The more who play, the bigger the winner's pot is going to be. But remember, you only have until August 30th to get in on the action. Signed, Ray Campbell, ray153056@gmail.com. A team has been developed to work on ACB and ACB radio tasks. The team consists of Jeff Bishop, Debbie Hazelton, and Jason Castanguay. I want to sincerely thank them for their ongoing commitment and assistance during this time. We as a team could not complete the needed tasks here without the wonderful team we have established. A very special thanks is also extended to Rick Marin, as he has been helping with scheduling and audiovisual tasks for ACB and ACB Radio. Thank you, Rick. I would like to ask that all of you please be patient with the team. We are picking up a lot of work here, and some of this is obviously causing some delays as we get up to speed with all of the work centered around ACB Radio. Glitches or delay in content being posted may be expected here during the next week or two as we get up to speed. We are doing everything we can to minimize that, but please, again, do be patient with us as we move through the process of organizing our workflow and skill sets for all of the work that we are completing. If you have specific questions, please send them to support@acb.org. We are working on getting a number of people to monitor this mailbox, and we would prefer one point of contact for all ACB or ACB Radio information technology requests. This includes ACB Radio programming, technical issues with the ACB Radio website, management for list administrators for ACB email lists, and so much more. As I have communicated with the Board of Publications and others at convention, we needed to take a hard look at the content, schedules, and overall imaging we present on our ABC Radio streams. This weekend, you will be seeing the first step in improving the content presented on ACB Radio. ACB needs to be at the focus of what you hear on ACB Radio Mainstream. For this reason, the schedule is undergoing a very major change. We are eager to hear your feedback. The schedule will be pushed out later this weekend, and you will be hearing more about this as we progress. If you have specific suggestions about the new schedule once it is released, then do let us know. Feedback from listeners is key to get the content mix right. We are here for all of you, so please do chime in as we continue to work on bringing great content to all of you here on ACB Radio. Again, send that information to support@acb.org. Affiliates and members, we want your voices on ACB Radio. If you have produced content or want to put content on ACB Radio, then do reach out to us to discuss this. Tools such as Zoom and others make it very easy to produce content that could be aired on ACB Radio. You will be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. We sincerely appreciate all of the kind messages we have received about this team's work as we pick up the many tasks that were managed by Larry. Please keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Again, if you have feedback for us, please send an email to support@acb.org. We will work hard in handling any issues or concerns that you may have. Again, be patient with us as we handle these related tasks. Thanks, everyone, so much, Jeff Bishop and the ACB Radio team. The new schedule was released on Monday, August 5th, with these notes. As I mentioned previously, we are putting ACB at the center of all things aired on our mainstream channel, http://acbradio.org/mainstream. For the most part, the schedule consists of all content from the national office, special interest affiliates, or content produced by ACB members. Visit the ACB Radio mainstream page on the ACB Radio website for all of the details on the new schedule. For your convenience, the schedule is shown below. I won't be reading it. Note, we want your feedback on the new schedule. Please send all comments to support@acb.org. You will need to go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream for the new schedule. Please navigate to npr.org and listen to Fresh Air, airing August 5th, 2019 at 1:14 p.m. Eastern Time. Terry Gross interviews filmmaker Rodney Evans regarding his vision impairment and making movies. The show runs 27 minutes, 23 seconds, so I do not have time to read the transcript. Filmmaker Rodney Evans is still making movies despite having lost much of his vision. His new documentary is about how he and three other blind or visually impaired artists continue to do their work. The interview is called Vision Portraits. Filmmaker wanted to chronicle other artists who are blind. Here is a post on Facebook by Ozzy M. Howe, O-Z-Y-M-H-O-W-E, about canes. I've had a few people ask me directly and seen a bunch of people asking in groups about blindness recently, about canes, different types, where to get one, lengths, and so on. So I'm going to repost this semi-blog that I keep meaning to put up in an actual blog eventually. Please feel free to share it to your own timeline, to groups, and anywhere else it might be of help to someone. The biggest thing to keep in mind is what's right for one might not be right for you. There's all sorts of companies, styles, philosophies, and so on. I'm going to give you as much of an explanation as I can on the differences. Lengths. When I started to get mobility lessons, I was told that the cane should reach the middle of my chest. When I didn't know any other opinions, I made it work. However, I found I had to hold the cane almost at full length to avoid tripping when walking at full stride. Later on, I was told by NFB members that I should have a cane that reaches my nose. That made my life a lot easier for a while, and I was able to walk more comfortably. After I was comfortable with that and built up my confidence, I was asked to try an even longer cane aiming for the middle of my forehead. That was excellent for me, but unfortunately makes it difficult for me to find a cane properly sized for my height. I'm 6'8" tall. Company differences. Amputech has really heavy canes. I personally find them to be too much on the wrist. I can use one for a while, but after a couple of days of constant use, I start feeling pain. However, they are a lot less likely to break if you're the type who is hard on your cane, getting them closed in doors, stuck in gutters, etc. Revolution are really nice canes. They are lighter than most canes I've tried, and they come with a lifetime warranty. They're also cheaper than most other companies. The problem I've had with them is that they have a rather loose connection point between sections if you get a folding cane, and they have a lot of connection points. Between both of those facts, you lose a lot of tactile feedback. Europa have strong connections between sections, but they tend to sharpen over time. Those sharpening edges cut through the cord really fast when compared to other canes. NFB have lightweight canes, but in my experience, they tend to break the easiest due to the lighter weight materials. Given you can get a free NFB cane every 6 months or a year, I forget which, there's a reasonable trade-off in my personal opinion. Bob Riley canes are rather interesting. They are strong, reasonably weighted, etc. However, I'm personally not a fan due to their flexibility. For some people, the flexibility is great. It helps avoid breaking if you're the type to get your cane stuck in gutters, but I'm not comfortable with how much the cane flexes as I'm walking. Styles of canes. There are three common styles of canes, including straight, folding, and telescoping. Each style has its benefits and drawbacks. Straight canes give the most feedback, tend to be the lightest, and have the most flexibility. On the other hand, they don't shrink in size, which means you have to figure out how to store your cane when you're in a vehicle, sitting in a restaurant, and so on. Folding canes lose tactile feedback at every connection point. It isn't a whole lot per point, but a little bit per connection fold. The more folds, the less tactile feedback you get. While more folds it has, the smaller the cane is when you store it. My old boss had a cane that folded into 8 sections, and when folded was the size of a 12-ounce soda can. The final of these three is the telescoping cane. A telescoping cane is more or less the happy medium between a straight cane and a folding cane. The tactile feedback is degraded slightly because there are breaks, but not as much as the folding cane. The big hang-up with telescoping canes is how easily they tend to jam. You get a little bit of dirt inside the cane and you could jam it, stopping the cane from collapsing properly. Then the other side of the same equation is how easily they collapse. I never had it happen to me personally, but I've heard plenty of complaints that someone is using their telescoping cane, hit a gutter the wrong way, and it collapses. Grips. The grip is 100% personal choice. I was never a fan of ridged grips. I know they're designed to make a better grip, but I prefer a smooth rubber grip. Cane tips. A rolling marshmallow tip will help if you're the type to drag your cane, but it makes the cane heavier, off-balancing it a bit if you're going to use a tap method. A pencil tip makes the least difference into weight distribution. The balance leaves the handle of the cane heavier than the end of the cane and leaves it easy to use a tap or a drag method. A teardrop tip adds to the weight on the end of the on the ground and helps with a drag method. The weight makes it pick up changes in elevation easier. The weight isn't as bad as the rolling tip, which makes it still easy to use the tap method. One commenter said there is also the older straight canes that are great but hard to find. The Iowa Center was making textured canes out of fiberglass that were very strong and flexible, but have grown flimsy over the years. Rain Shine Umbrella Company made solid fiberglass canes that were almost impossible to break, but were very heavy. I have experimented with making canes from bamboo, with great success if you like lightweight canes. They feel and perform much like a standard NFB straight cane and use the same tip. They remain strong over time and can be cut to any length. I've also seen one custom cane made from a broomstick. The guy used it like a support cane with an NFB-style tip. Another commenter says, nice post. I have an Ambutech right now. It sucks, but I'm stuck with it. But I usually use Revolution canes with roller tips. I need to find a lighter but durable one because my carpal tunnel can't take the weight. We've run out of time for today's reading of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Note the website change, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.